This morning, I'd like to speak from the life of Solomon. How many of you know something about Solomon? Okay, we'll do our youngest hand technique. Who's the youngest person here can tell me something about Solomon? Is Hannah younger, or who's younger? Go ahead, Hannah.
Solomon was one of the wisest kings ever.
Solomon was the wisest king ever. Okay. Very good. That's what most people would tell us about Solomon. That's what he's known for. What else is he known for, Connor? For building a temple for the Lord. Yeah. Was it a nice one? Was it a good temple? Was it... Leo? It was?
He had too many wives.
He had too many wives. Very good. Yeah, she's right. Laura. His dad was David. He was the son of David, right? Okay. All right, very good. How did Solomon... I'd like to cover the range of Solomon's life. So how was it that Solomon became so wise? Luke? He asked God for wisdom. How did that happen? Wendy? Yes, God appeared to him in a dream. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll give out the homework now. I want you to read 1 Kings 3 to 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 3 to 11 will cover Solomon's life, and chapter 12 will cover Rehoboam's folly. So in chapter 3, we have Solomon's request. The Lord said to him in a dream, "Ask what you would like me to give you." Now, this is a little bit like we have a story about a genie. You rub the bottle, and the genie comes out, and he gives you three wishes. And one of the things people have said is that if you were given that opportunity, you would ask for a lot more wishes so you don't run out of request. Somebody said, what should Solomon have asked for? He should have asked for, can I have more wishes? But the Lord didn't do that, and that's not what the Lord is asking. He says, what one thing would you like me to give you? And Solomon said, I am young. How many people here are young? And inexperienced. And this kingdom is large, and your people are great. And I don't have what it takes to be a good king. I ask that you would give me wisdom to rule over your people. And this pleased the Lord, the Bible tells us. And so the Lord said, I will give you your request and make you the wisest of the land, the wisest king. And because you didn't ask for riches and other things like that, I'll give you those too. So God gave him riches and wisdom, and he became very wealthy and very wise. And the people of the world came to hear his wisdom. And anyone know a book of the Bible that contains thoughts that Solomon had? Brother Larry? Ecclesiastes. Okay. And one other? Proverbs. Okay. Song of Solomon. Thank you. that's also his. Okay, now, Solomon, if you read those chapters, the request comes at the beginning of Solomon's reign. So we have when he was young, he said, I don't have what it takes. And he said, I ask for wisdom. That was a humble request. And God blesses humility. When you read those chapters and you get to the end, is Solomon still humble? Is he still talking to the Lord? No, Solomon is a tragedy in the Bible. Brother Werner.
I think Ecclesiastes was at the end of his life. So I think he lost some humility through the 50 years of his life where he was really strong and powerful and wealthy. I think at the very end, he had some regrets. And that's my personal take on Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. Yes, we'll go into that today. Yeah, I think that's a valid insight. Brother Larry?
Second verse of Ecclesiastes 1 kind of says it all. It says, futility of futilities, everything is futile. So we think those are very responsible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jessica? Vanity of vanity, all things are vanity or futility. He came to a despondent place, is what Larry said. Jessica had her hand up. Don't blame Wendy. Yes. Yeah, there's some question of whether Solomon wrote it, but the content, the majority of the content. Now, I'll tell you something that I believe. I won't be dogmatic, but if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it starts out by mentioning the preacher. And at the end of the book, it says it mentions the preacher again. And in between, we have this philosophy, if you will, this wisdom, which is believed to have been Solomon's. So I'll give you some more homework. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. This keeps growing, doesn't it? But the thought is that the preacher was a different person than Solomon. And the preacher introduces the book, and he gives what Solomon said at the end. The preacher speaks again. He says, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. I think that's probably true. And I think that the book was written because Solomon is an example that we should learn from. And the preacher was doing that in the writing of the book. So, at the end, Solomon is not really following the Lord. He's been corrupted. What corrupted Solomon? Okay, too many wives, like Lael said. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines or something like that, or vice versa, I'm not sure which. And he had too many horses, and he had too much.
The three things that corrupt most men, power, women, and wealth.
Power, women, and wealth. He had too much gold and silver, that's wealth. Okay.
It was in appeasing those wives and building the temples of their foreign gods and then going with them to appease their God.
Yes. So in the beginning, he built a temple to Yahweh. But he made alliances, as was the common practice of that day, by marrying the daughters of other kings surrounding him. The first one was the daughter of Pharaoh, and there were other kings' daughters that he married. And all these wives turned his heart to worshiping foreign gods as well as Yahweh. So the land gets filled with idolatry. Instead of being devoted to the Lord, it's got a taste of the Lord, and it's got a lot of other things that are very sad. If you know anything about the foreign gods, they were wicked, and they corrupted the people. So that's a background on Solomon's life. I want to say to you, especially if you're young, give your heart to the Lord while you're young. And devote yourself to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you all my days. That is what happened in my life, and I am so thankful for it. As I was young, the message reached my heart. There was a period where the message, I was hearing it and going to church because my mom wanted me to go. And then it changed to be I was going to church because the message was touching my heart. It was my own. And I was wholehearted. And so many good things were sown in my life in my youth, which is what Proverbs is doing. It's sowing wisdom in the heart of a young person. So turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We won't read the whole book today, and I didn't assign it. next week we'll sign that. So Proverbs chapter 1. And verses 1 through 6 give the purpose of the book. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then in verse 8 it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And then he goes on, my son, if sinners entice thee, don't follow them, don't consent. But I just want to stop there, right there. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. And we're going to see that. We're going to go look at the first four chapters. We'll see the same thing of a father instructing a son in four different chapters. And the burden of this book, I believe, is written out of sorrow. Because Solomon, he's giving wisdom, but he addresses the first nine chapters to addressing a son. And he's saying, my son, give me your heart. My son, hear what I have to say. Now, why would that be on Solomon's heart so strongly? If you look at chapter, in the assignment I gave you, chapter 1 Kings 12 is Rehoboam's folly. So Solomon raised a fool. That's a sad thing. But when Solomon had passed and Rehoboam received the kingdom, people came to him and said, lighten our burden, your father made our life very heavy. And Rehoboam asked the men of his father's age, and they said, listen to the people, they're telling you the right thing. Then he asked his peers, and they said, no. Tell them that you're a bigger man than Solomon and that I'll make your burden heavier. And so that was he had to choose between those two counsels, and he chose the latter. And the people rebelled, and that's why there was a northern kingdom, Israel split off, and the southern kingdom. Rehoboam foolishly listened to his peers instead of listening to the older men who had lived life. And I want to say that to your young people, but also to all of us, is look for men who and women who have a life of wisdom behind them and hear what they have to say. Take it to heart. And that is the burden of Proverbs that Solomon wrote this. He said, listen, my son, give me your heart. Hear what I have to say. And he says that again in chapter 2, verse 1. Look there with me. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Remember back in chapter 1, he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And find the knowledge of God. So the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his saints. Now you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And he goes on to say the benefits of seeking for wisdom. So again, he's addressed a son. And then if you go with me to chapter 3, in your Bible, verse 1 again, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare will they give you. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart, and you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. He's again saying, I'm a father who loves you. And the last one I want to look at, chapter 4, verse 1. Turn there with me. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she'll exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. And I'll skip down to verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to him who finds them and healing to all his flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is Solomon speaking to his son. And he says, my dad spoke to me. So who's his dad? Somebody told us already. It was David. If you study history, one of the great repeated failures of history is called succession. It's a good ruler is seldom followed by another good ruler. It's a great thing when it happens. My dad told me when I was young about the saying, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. Have you ever heard that? Well, the first generation came over on the boat, and they had nothing, and they worked hard, and they were in shirt sleeves. They were working people, and they gained prosperity, and they taught their children and sent them to college, and the child grew up and prospered. And now he's no longer in shirt sleeves. He's in a suit. He's got a good job. He's making money. And then he raises a son who is a fool and squanders the inheritance, and he's back in shirt sleeves. The Arabs have a saying. They say that my father drove a camel, I drive a Mercedes, and my son will drive a camel. Same thing. So here's the thing. David taught Solomon. I don't know if Solomon taught Rehoboam. He's teaching him here. But did it really happen? Because when we see Rehoboam's folly, he didn't take it to heart if it got taught at all. Now, I want to say something more about how do we take these scriptures. There's two ways to take these scriptures, and they're both very valid. The one I've been talking about is a father instructing his son. I say to all you fathers out here, take this to heart. Spend time sharing God's heart with your children. And win their hearts. Don't just give them information, but love them, because love is what opens the heart to receive the truth. So when you spend time, and I say this even if you're not a parent, if you have any influence at all, you must love the person that you're trying to help. Sometimes those people are hard to love. They have a lot of problems. But you have to love them. And when you love them and they come to know that you love them, they will start to consider what you have to say. We have a saying like that. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. It's true. So win the heart of the person you're trying to influence. If you're a father, that's your children. It's also your extended family. It's your neighbors. It could be your uncle. Grace can go uphill.
It's your nephew or niece.
Yeah. Or if you're a grandson, it might be your grandfather. Grace can go uphill. Brother Larry. Yeah, if your grandfather, it should be your grandchildren. Okay, so we want to win the heart. It's not enough just to know the truth and speak the truth, but you haven't won the heart. So you must win the heart. How do you win the heart? How do you win a child's heart? Shanna? Okay, showing love and mercy like God shows us. I've had times where I should have given a spanking in the theoretical sense, but I spoke to the child and they repented and I gave them mercy and I won their heart. So God does that with us too. Werner, is your hand up?
Tying a little bit to the shirt sleeve cliche. Setting aside the ambition for your empire, for talking, befriending the charge, whether it's a nephew, a son.
Okay. So being sacrificial because you love that one wins their heart.
And it said to me, almost every son of a successful father wants to do a little better than his father. The father gets so big, it's hard to outdo it. Leave a little bit behind, let the one behind you build a little there.
Uh-huh.
Without tremendous effort.
This is my chance to bring mathematics in. So, Euler was a godly man and one of the greatest mathematicians who ever lived. And he solved some unsolvable problems in mathematics, and he kept them to himself and let his students discover them and get the credit. Same thing you're saying. So Euler. E-U-L-E-R. Where'd you go to school? You don't know Euler?
No, he solved the problem.
I give you another way to win a heart. It's to spend time with the person whose heart you're trying to win, and to listen when they talk, and then have conversations. Helps to bind the hearts together. Brother Larry.
That's kind of what I was going to say. It's maybe oversimplistic, but the thought I had was be available.
Be available.
Be there.
Yes.
Spend time.
Yes. Spending time. There's no substitute. There's no easy way of how can I do this on a quick. Okay? Now, I told you there's two ways to take these scriptures, and one is trying to win your children's hearts. The second is God is your father, and he's trying to win your heart. And he wants you to know, to receive his ways, his wisdom. He wants you to have time with him, like we're talking about. You got to have time with God. If you're too busy, you miss out. So when we read these scriptures, when I read these scriptures as a young man, I had no thought about fatherhood. I took these all as God wants to win my heart. He wants me to listen to him. He wants me to value what he values and search for it like silver or gold. I recommend that to you, whatever age you are, that you say, God, I want to know you. I want you to win my heart. And going back to that, if God had appeared to me in a dream and said, I'll give you one wish, what would you like me to give you? Solomon asked for wisdom, and he failed. And I thought about this. I said, if he had come to me, what would I have asked? What should I have asked for? What's the best thing you can ask for? And the conclusion I've come to is, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart for all my days. And you'll get everything. You'll get everything, all the blessings of God if you ask for that. And it'll please the Lord that you asked for that. Help me to
ask for it in the Psalms over and over again, to walk with him all of his days.
Yes. Yes. David asked for that over and over again. That's what's in the Psalms. Even when he sinned, he asked for that in Psalm 51. So, I hope that you'll say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, I want to listen to you. I want to love you more. Win my heart, Lord. So now I want to finish. We only get to do it once. When Solomon gets to the end of his life, he has regrets. And he can't undo. Someone has said it takes the same amount of time to raise a wise man as to raise a fool. By 18 or 21, the direction is set. The arrow is left the bow. One thing I learned in baseball is that you can't control where the ball goes after it leaves your fingers. I was a pitcher. Sometimes I threw strikes. The Wendy, please.
I would say that's not true, that it takes more time to raise a wife.
Yeah. There's the truth in that, yes. And the Lord is merciful, and He uses the prayers of parents to take wayward children and bring them back on the path. So I want you to have great hope and faith. Pray that way, because that's what God wants to do. So I believe that when you look at Proverbs and you look at Ecclesiastes, there's a bit of regret in the book because Solomon didn't pull it off. And I pray that we would avoid those regrets, that we would come and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed mother. I'm a blessed father. We'll finish there. Let's take a moment to pray. That thing of you only do it once applies also to how you know the Lord. That you would run the race and say like Paul, I have a crown laid up at the end of your life. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would give us a heart that's bound to you so that we may receive all your blessings, all your wisdom, all the best you have for us. I pray that you would do this for the young and the old. I pray you'd do this for mothers and fathers and children and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and neighbors. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would love you with all our heart, Lord, for the rest of our days. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have our sharing time.